Welcome to my commentary on Peter's second epistle. This section, 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 4. Only one verse because we have some background material to cover. Verse 4 says, "If God did not spare angels when they sinned, but sent them to hell, putting them into gloomy dungeons to be held for judgment." We're talking about angels here being sent to hell, being imprisoned for a future judgment. Well, it's obvious these angels are locked up. They're not wandering around the universe like demons are. So what angels are we talking about? If we only had Peter's verse 4 here, we wouldn't even have a clue. But there are credible evangelical Bible scholars who believe there is an answer to this verse, and it begins in Genesis 6, verse 1. So I will read. Verse 1 says, "When men began to increase in number on the earth, and daughters were born to them," and verse 2 says, "the sons of God saw that the daughters of men were beautiful, and they married any of them they chose." We have three groupings here. We have men, we have daughters, and we have sons of God. In these first two verses, the critical words are sons of God. Who are the sons of God? Some people believe the sons of God are the descendants of evil Abel. And daughters refers to the descendants of righteous Seth. For a number of reasons, I don't believe that. I'm leaning towards the sons of God as being fallen angels. And again, there are credible Bible teachers who believe this. Fallen angels fell because they came to earth and had sex with the daughters of men. There are at least three specific places where the Hebrew term Bar Elohim, that is translated as sons of God, are found elsewhere in the Old Testament. And they are in the book of Job. Job 1:6, 2:1, 38, verse 7. In all three of these cases, the term is in reference to angels. The singular form of this Hebrew phrase, Ben Elohim, is found in Daniel 3:25, and it refers to the fourth person in the fiery furnace, as he appeared to be as the Son of God. There are a couple allusions to sons of God being angels in the Psalms. So, if you believe that the sons of God here are angels, then we believe, or you'd have to believe, that angels had sex and married human women. Verse 3 continues, "Then the Lord said, My spirit will not contend with man forever, for he is mortal. His days will be 120 years. Verse 4 says, "The Nephilim were on the earth in those days, and also afterward, when the sons of God went to the daughters of men and had children by them. They were the heroes of old and men of renown." Nephilim are these fallen angels. Now, Nephilim comes from Nephel, the Hebrew word meaning to fall or fallen ones, whether it's a verb or a noun. And when it comes to Nephilim, when you expand the root word, it basically means fallen ones of renown, excellent, royalty, other type of words. Now, we need to note that the King James translates this Hebrew word as giants, the NIV as Nephilim. The NIV simply transliterates from the Hebrew, and for some reason King James believes the Hebrew word Nephilim means giants, but they were giant, mighty men. They were angels, and they produced giants, mighty men of renown as their offspring when they mated with women. Jesus said, in the days of Noah, so shall it be in the days before the Son of Man returns. Some people actually believe such demonic activity will happen again here at the end of this age. Just think about this for a minute. Things got so bad that God had to flood the earth. Now, have things gotten so bad since that flood that he has had to do something so drastic? No, they haven't gotten that bad. It's my thinking that the worst thing, the thing that just did it for God, was angels having sex with women. That was the straw that broke God's back, so to speak. He had to end things right then. Now, you notice in verse 4 that the Nephilim were on the earth in those days and also afterward. Some Bible scholars believe that even after the flood, things like this began to happen. They see that in Sodom and Gomorrah because we see angels involved there. Numbers 13:31 seems to allude to this, but there is some speculation concerning that. Now we need to go to Jude 6 and 7 because Jude elaborates on this, or appears to elaborate it on it, if you believe the sons of God in Genesis 6 were angels. Verse 6 and 7 are the important verses. The angels who did not keep their positions of authority but abandoned their own home, these he has kept in darkness, bound with everlasting chains for judgment on the great day. So Jude speaks of angels who left their home, left their authority, being bound in everlasting darkness until that great day of the Lord. Who could these angels be? These are angels that are bound up right now. They're not wandering the spiritual universe. Well, if you believe the sons of God in Genesis 6, 1 to 4 are angels, it only makes sense that the angels that are bound here that we see in Jude are those angels. And Jude says they left their home. The angels in Genesis 6, 1 through 4 left their spiritual home and came to earth to live. It sounds weird and wacky, and because it sounds so weird and wacky, many people disregard it. But listen, if you disregard this because it's weird and wacky, there's a multitude of other things in the Bible that you need to disregard as well. The donkey talking to Balaam, the resurrection of Jesus himself is kind of far-fetched to the human imagination. So you can't discount this because it sounds weird. Now, look what Jude goes on to say after they left their home and they're bound in everlasting chains. Verse 7 says, in a similar way, Sodom and Gomorrah and the surrounding towns gave themselves up to sexual immorality and perversion. The words in a similar way refers to these fallen angels. Sodom and Gomorrah were judged because of their sexual immorality. And Jude is saying, in a similar way, these angels were judged for their sexual immorality. That is very important. You might want to really look at these two verses for yourself and see what Jude is saying. The angels left their home. God judged them. And the reason why they left their home, because they were like Sodom and Gomorrah. As a matter of fact, if you read the events of Sodom and Gomorrah, you will see that in the story, there are hints of angelic beings being involved in Sodom and Gomorrah. That could account for the word afterwards in Genesis 6, verse 4. So now we go back to 1 Peter and 2 Peter chapter 2 verse 4. And Peter says, "For God did not spare the angels when they sinned." The very same angels that Jude is talking about. As a matter of fact, the wording is so similar that liberals believe either Peter plagiarized Jude or Jude plagiarized Peter. My understanding is that it was just a general understanding in those days about these sons of God angels. So Peter says again, if God did not spare the angels when they sinned, but sent them to hell. Now, the word hell in the Greek text is Tartarus. It's the only place in the New Testament where this Greek word Tartarus is used. And in Greek mythology, Tartarus was the lowest of the lowest of the lowest dungeons beneath Hades. It was where the wicked of the wicked go. You couldn't get a more dark, gloomy place to lock up wickedness and wicked angels. Tartarus was the worst. So Peter says God sent these angels to maximum security prison, putting them in gloomy dungeons to be held for judgment. Then Peter goes on. The reason why Peter is saying this is false teachers, you Gnostics, if you think you can escape God's judgment, look at what God did to his own angels. If he does this to angels, he won't think twice of condemning you to judgment. Now, why would Peter use a Greek word Tartarus? Well, one reason is because he was speaking to predominantly Gentile people. Another reason is this. It's understood by many that old ancient philosophies and religions are really a distortion of biblical truth. For example, every religion, even native North American religion, has a flood story. They have sacrifices. There's all sorts of similarities between the ancient religions and the worship of Yahweh, the worship of Elohim, as we see in the Bible. Now, why are there these similarities? I believe, and many scholars believe, that they are a distortion of true worship of God. As men began to get more sinful, they distorted the truth of God and turned them into deceptive, false worship of other gods. In Greek philosophy, let's take a group of half men and half angels. They were called Titans. Zeus was a god. He had a son, and he wanted to hand his authority over to his son. The Titans didn't want it. The Titans derived a plan. They were going to bring toys to the son, and while the son was playing with the toys, they would attack the son, kill him, boil and roast his limbs, and eat them. Well, Zeus did not allow this to happen. He beat the Titans. And the reason why I'm saying this is, where did Greek mythology get the idea of half man, half god, or half man, half angel type of beings? It could be like the flood story, like the sacrifices. It could be a distortion of the truth of the matter that we see in Genesis 6:1, where there were angels having sex with women, producing half angelic, half human beings. So as wacky as this sounds, again, there are credible people, scholars who believe this. This might well account for what Peter is saying here in verse 4. There is one more thing to consider. Now, Jesus himself said in Matthew 22:30 that angels do not give in marriage. Well, so people will say, well, the sons of God in Genesis 1 can't be angels because they don't give in marriage. Well, there's a couple of thoughts about that. He did not say angels couldn't have sex. He just said they don't get married. That could be one argument. Another argument is that there are countless multitude of angelic beings that I believe there are that we don't even know about. Just look at the type of angels we have in the Bible. We have cherubs, we have seraphs, we have the four living creatures of Revelation, we have principalities, powers that Paul talks about in Ephesians 6. There are a number of different types of angelic beings we see in the Bible. Peter himself, in a few verses to follow here, differentiates between angels and celestial beings. It's my thinking, and the thinking of many, that there are all sorts of levels and types of angels. And really, again, this could be where the Gnostics have departed from biblical truth, because they believed that there were multitudes of levels of angels, and Jesus was just one of these angels. So the Gnostics may have had an element of truth, but have distorted it for their own purposes. If there are all sorts of angelic type beings, and we know that angels appeared in the Old Testament as human beings, it is quite possible that some of these angels who appear as men had the capability of having sex with women. It's not really a stretch of the imagination to believe that. So just because Jesus said angels don't give in marriage doesn't mean, or doesn't really knock down the idea that the sons of God in Genesis 6:1 were angels. That's it for this section.